What's up? If you are, I want to get on here this morning and talk about overthinking, procrastination, burnout, overwhelm, overwork, being stressed out, demotivated, discouraged, not exactly sure what to do or how to move forward. If any of those things sound like something you might be dealing with, then I think this will be a good one for you. I wanted to get on here today and kind of talk about this journey from really massive imperfect action to overthinking all my actions and feeling very discouraged, very demotivated, very frustrated, and very confused. You know, some of you have achieved a lot of success. You got to a top of a mountain and then you've like fallen off the mountain. It's like, man, that was hard climbing that mountain. I don't know if I want to climb the mountain again. Some of you are trying to climb the mountain and the mountain seems insurmountable and everywhere in between. In my journey, what I found is that I really pretty much went up from 2004 till 2013. And in certain ways, I either maintained or went down after that. What's interesting is growth, though, at times when we're living every day. So we're in our bodies, we're in our minds all day, every day. It's like if I haven't cut the grass, you know, if I cut the grass and then look at the grass all day, every day, it's not gonna really, you're never gonna notice the growth. But if I cut the grass and leave for 2 or 3 weeks and come back and look at the grass, grass is probably going to look a lot different than it did when you cut it. And so we're in our life all day, every day, and we're feeling all the ups and downs and the lefts and rights and the punches in the gut and the face. And, you know, for a lot of people, if you haven't had any success at all yet, that's really challenging. And right now you're seeing a lot of YouTubers who, you know, people are striving to be like and want these dream careers. And you're seeing these people quit. You're seeing these people downsize. You're seeing these people give up. You're seeing these people burn out, overwhelmed, overworked, and getting away from the thing that actually probably initially had them have their breakout. And then when they started having their breakout or their breakthrough, they started changing everything that worked, thinking, well, they can't do it that way anymore because so many people say you got to go to the next level. And so for me, I went up for a number of years. I went up, 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 up. And through that time, there was a lot of personal challenges, breakups, deaths, debt, money issues, all sorts of things. But I had the success that I had going from, I mean, I've lived in this town of about 25,000 people here in the Midwest my whole life. But I went from, you know, my mom cleans houses. My dad works at a cemetery. I don't have entrepreneurial like parents that are killing it, that are super loaded and giving me all this inspiration that here's how you do it. I just knew I didn't want to go to college. I had a little momentum because my dad works at a cemetery and I started doing funeral slideshows. But I took a lot of action and I wasn't scared. And I just kept metaphorically jumping out of the plane and building my wings on the way down. And then sometimes I slammed into the ground and a lot of times something worked out. And I did that a lot. And I looked at my career and said, massive imperfect action. That's how I succeeded. And I thought I embodied massive imperfect action. Like I thought I'm good. Like this, I am massive imperfect action. Like in every way, shape and form, I am massive imperfect action. And I could not even relate to people who didn't take action. You know, I did my best to inspire those people, but I couldn't relate, couldn't empathize. I couldn't understand because it felt like all I did was, you know, the worst thing that's going to happen is you get to know and you get to know when you don't ask. At least if you ask, there's a good thing that can happen possibly, right? I had all these cliches, all these quotes, all these things that I would say. And it is. It's what I did. I sent an email to Tim Ferriss. I got a response. I sent an email to Tony Robbins people. I got a response. Like, I had these things happen, but I had plenty of things that didn't work out. I had plenty of things that didn't happen. I had plenty of things that didn't go my way. But what happened is that I wasn't overthinking these things. See, when I sent the email to Tim Ferriss, all I wanted to do was give back to Tim Ferriss. I had read his book. I felt like it made an impact. I saw an opportunity to use my video skills. So I sent an email. That was it. I didn't think, if I send this to Tim Ferriss, I got to have the perfect email. Because if I have the perfect email and he responds to me, it's going to change my life. And same thing for Tony Robbins. What a lot of people don't know is it's actually an ex-girlfriend that I wanted to get her to meet Tony Robbins. So I thought, well, you know, she introduced me in 2011 to Tony Robbins. I thought, wow, man, I'll use the same things I did before to open up doors, and I'll send an email and I'll get there to meet him. Well, we broke up right around the time that I actually got the email back. And then a few months later, we went and I got to meet Tony Robbins. But a lot of these things that look big on the outside and have had a tremendous impact on my life and my business, I didn't think much about. I have a shirt on MIA for inspired action now. I just had an inspired thought. I had a thought. I took an inspired and perfect action, and I moved on with my life. That was it. And what I found is that flash forward to, you know, what happened in 2020, I had a zest and a fire because, you know, I went from my peak year almost doing $400,000 in revenue to 2016 almost going bankrupt. And then having a bottle rocket back up, I'm getting married, I'm turning 30, and I changed some of my behaviors, and I stopped trying to do my coaching business, and income went back up. But I had this calling to do this right here. And I want to help you all who listen to this know and figure out how to reprogram your mind, because there's a lot of things, whether you listen to a video like this, or you've listened to other podcasts, or been to summits or virtual summits or in-person workshops or courses or seminars or Tony Robbins, and yet there's this disconnect between what you know you could do or you're capable of or your potential and, you know, what you quote-unquote should do or the actions you should take, and you're not taking them. You just, you keep hitting this invisible brick wall. You keep staying stuck. You just burn out. You're exhausted. And what does it look like to reignite that fire inside of you? Because quite frankly, in the last couple of years, like personally, in a lot of ways, I was really happy. But professionally speaking, I was frustrated. I was demotivated. I was making the least amount of money I've made in years. And I had to really figure out what was going on. And the thing is, I call one thing content constipation. I have consumed an asinine, astronomical amount of information. Now, it is a competitive advantage when I work with people, when I coach people, and they say something. When you ask a question here, which I encourage you to do, by the way, but when I hear things from people, I always say, when I hear you, I can help you. So when I hear things, I pull from this vast knowledge base in my mind. I get triggered, boom, I pull that out, and that can help that person. So I have all these things and a consumption, because everything that has a positive typically has potentially a negative if not managed. You know, where there's light, there's a shadow. And so there's this shadow side to all this consumption, because if I don't create, if I don't give, if I don't release, and all I do is suppress, then the problem is you get content constipation. I don't feel too good. So some of you aren't creating like you used to, aren't releasing like you used to. And I think a lot of creatives or creators or even YouTubers and people, you know, having video production companies, video business owners, is that they're getting pulled into where the fact that they're not getting to do anything that they want to do. And they think if they're getting paid that they only can do what the client wants. And I'm telling you, like, there's a time and a place for that. I did that from 2004 to probably 2010. And by 2011 and 12, I was so fed up. Another one of these, like, I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. I'm sick and tired. Like, I know I do some stuff I love, but I'm not getting paid for that specific thing. And it seems like every once in a while, people come in and they want what I do and what I love. But a lot of times it's like rolling the dice. Is this person going to come in and want what I love to do? Or are they going to want something else? And if they want something else, I'm just going to go, I'm just going to go, okay, that's fine. And I was so fed up in 2010. I was at a wedding where there was about six couples. And I asked them all what they liked off their DVDs. And all of them said, the only thing we've watched is the same day edit. It's the only thing we've watched. And at that point in time, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Because I had a backlog. I don't know how long. I was so overwhelmed by it. I didn't want to answer the phone, look at my email, or go to the movies because I thought I was going to get chewed out by somebody. Which, mind you, I never went to the movies and got chewed out. But I definitely had problems in my email and phone calls and things that happened because of that. Procrastination on this editing, things that I didn't really love to do and didn't want to do, and seemingly wasn't really great at getting other people to help me do it either overall. And so when I heard that, I'm like, I love doing that, but I've been told by everybody that I can't just do that, right? And there's this key word, just, because I think sometimes there's things that people just want to do and they believe they have to do all these other things. And so for me, even one of those things right now, which is, this will bounce around a little bit, but also proof, like, I hadn't done any live videos since like last summer. And what I've found is there's a difference between what I know intellectually and what's happening subconsciously. So there's stuff that's sabotaging you every single day on autopilot, regardless of what you know, right? But regardless of what you think you can overcome through just simply thinking, you have to start to practice. So I know, I've had enough proof now, like, psychologically, intellectually, that people like just me speaking from the heart, from the soul, with this passion and this intensity, not with preparation and polish, right? I did two lives that I kicked back up here in the last week. I've done like four of them. This is probably like the fifth one, I think. Two of them were sparked off of a conversation I was having in my private coaching, and I just like, I'm going to go in front of the camera and just talk, right? And so I did it. Those two did amazing. Then I did two that were like more or less forced, where the one I spent like 30 minutes thinking about what I was going to say before I got on it. That one didn't do very well. Then the next one, I kind of more out of a frustration thing went and did it, but still was kind of analyzing it and frustrated when I did it. So I just got off pretty quick. And ironically, the two that didn't do very well weren't very long. And the two that did well were like an hour long. And so today, what did I do? I was doing some push-ups. I was on the bike. And I was like, you know what? Boom. And I had this thought. And I just turned this on. And so this is me practicing, reprogramming my mind. Because although all proof tells me that this is the way I should do things, I have been programmed for a decade, really probably 14 plus years, that there are right and wrong ways to do things. Now, ironically, when I started my video production company, there's people told me if I didn't go to college, I wouldn't succeed. The interesting thing is that I've looked back and I said, well, you know what? I don't think I really respected the people that gave me that advice. And I didn't want to be where they were. And so I didn't do what they said. And I really didn't want to go to college. The interesting thing is when I really fell and stumbled upon coaching and speaking and all of that, I had never dreamed about doing this, nor did I dream about doing video production. I've really followed my curiosity in life. And when I follow my curiosity, sometimes there's a pot of money there and sometimes there's not. But I haven't, when I try to force myself to where the money is, it doesn't seem to work very well for me. And I find that to be true for a lot of creatives. Some people don't give a crap where the pot of money is. They'll go to it and they'll make it work. And then there's a lot of artists and creatives. They're looking for a step-by-step. They're looking for the formula. They're looking for the framework. And you know why that is? It's because for a decade, there have been people teaching frameworks and formulas and step-by-steps and blueprints of exactly what to do to supposedly succeed, because they've supposedly reverse engineered how they succeeded. And now they're going to teach you, my friend, how to do it too. And although there's principles that we can take from what these people have learned, i.e., I have all these things that I've learned, but what frustrated me, but I didn't trust myself on, is that when I was seeking advice about how to potentially have a living speaking or coaching, because when I did my first paid one in 2010 in October, I was like, this is incredible. Because what I think I knew intuitively back then is I love one-on-one. But number two, I love people. And anything that I have done in the past, my favorite part is the people part. It's not editing. It's not shooting. It's not crafting something, putting something together. That's all fine and dandy, but it was a gateway to people. So when I'm at events, I would rather, if somebody stops me, I'd rather talk to them for 3 hours and help them than I would get back to running around with my camera, right? So it's always been about people. But I had to do so many other things that I would procrastinate, put off. And now what I found with like my brain scans and everything else is that there was these things that deactivated my brain, literally deactivated. Do I have that picture? Let me see. I don't know where it's at right now. But literally deactivate my brain. There are certain activities. And when I do this, I'm activated. I am on fire. I am excited. I am enthusiastic. I'm firing it the highest frequency. I realize that there are people that can't even tell me what I said or did to help them. They simply know that how they felt was different. And that different feeling had them take actions they hadn't taken before. And so many people who were stuck and confused and overwhelmed and overworked, some of them, they got all sorts of stuff going on. Because that's what I've seen, is that all these I call them stove moments, they started to stack in my life. Whether it was a breakup, it was a death, it was debt issues, money issues, business partner issues, things not working out, changing direction, all these things, being on live. This ain't the first time I've been on live. This ain't the first time I've spoken with passion on here, right? Like, I've done these things. But I kept consuming things more and more and more and more that told me not to do what I do best. And because these people seemed to have success and money, and I don't want fame necessarily, but like they had all these things that I think we don't necessarily question whether we really want, but we feel that these people talk with a hell of a lot of conviction and a hell of a lot of certainty that they've got the way. And I think a lot of people, they just don't want to struggle anymore. You know, they're beat down. I know for me, I didn't think I'd reach that level, but like I was beat down. I mean, the last few years, it was like getting going and moving. I mean, I was just kind of in maintenance mode. You know, I had built a life that I was like enjoying, but I wasn't making a lot of money. I was like, man, but when you've experienced certain things, there's certain things you experience. Like, I don't ever experience that again. I like that. I don't want that back. Right. I've had plenty of that. I'm like, okay, I don't want to do that again. Like, I don't want to travel the world anymore. Like, that was fine and dandy for a while. I really enjoyed it. And I'm very blessed. And I met some incredible people and had some incredible journeys and stories, but I don't really desire to be on a plane 6-7 months out of the year anymore. Right. So there's things I did that I loved. They were fun in the moment or fun for a few years. And I'm like, I'm good. If I don't have that again, that's okay. But there was other things I had and I'm like, I'd like to have that back again. That was pretty nice when I had it. And one of those was the money I made. I'm like, I made some really good money. I wasn't great with that money, which is why I don't really have it. But at the end of the day, I know that my skills are there, but I was so beat down. And so I know that there's people who are beat down who've had success, and that's frustrating. And then there's people who are beat down who just haven't succeeded yet and are really like down and out, because it's like they don't even have proof from their past. I got a lot of proof from my past that I've done it once. I can do something again. And I don't have any doubts in that. But I had to keep, you know, flushing things through to go, why am I going from the MIA guy, the imperfect action guy, to the overthinking all my actions? Like this is driving me insane, right? Absolutely insane. Like I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like what's going on? I know better. And I've seen people be handed on a silver platter exactly what to do and how to do it, yet they're not doing it. That's what I'm obsessed with. Because on certain levels, I've had some of the best give me advice, give me support. But what most people said is, when I said, man, I really love this one-on-one stuff, and they'd be like, well, what'd you do to help the people that you've helped? And I'm like, I don't know. They're like, well, you need a framework. You need a formula. You need something scalable, which that word is starting to obviously pop up a lot. And there's people who are still doing it and all excited about it, and it's working for them. And then there's people it ain't working for. It worked, but it ain't working for them. And they're scaling back, right? That's taken a lot of courage for people to do. A lot of courage, because they're not going to a next level. They're going back a level, right? And that's supposedly a bad thing because you always need to, you always need to be up leveling, right? I mean, you got to do like, I haven't talked about this much publicly, but, you know, some of you know my story, knew that I walked with my grandpa more or less. If I was in town, you know, I walked with my grandpa from 2012 through 2017, 5 days a week, 8 to 8:45. Then he had some issues and we just kind of, we didn't do it anymore. He didn't really want to do it. He had issues, didn't really leave the house. And over the last number of years, he's gone downhill. And then we were told recently he doesn't have much time left. We don't know now if it's a day, a month. I mean, it's already seems to be a week or so longer than they said. And yet he doesn't seem to have any issues right this second, but I don't know. Life's an interesting thing. So I've been sitting with him at this place where there's dementia and I get too emotional. I've had a lot of emotions in the last month or so. I've flushed a lot out. So we'll see what happens here. But, you know, it's interesting, just a little tidbit, little aside. He was born in 37 and I'm 37 years old right now. I was born in 86 and he's 86 years old right now. My mom's always been good with all those kind of numbers. So I thought that was fascinating. I somehow picked that up, but you know, by and large, he doesn't remember most of anything. And nor do any of the other people at this place. And they're all in their more or less, you know, 80s, it seems like. But, you know, I sit here and I kind of analyze, you know, what am I going to worry about someday? Like, what am I going to look back? Even right now, what are the things that I'm worried about? Like, what happened and what am I actually fearing by doing certain actions or doing things, you know, coming on here and being just talking, just doing my thing, right? And versus me having the right kind of intro to this video, right? And I got to say the right thing in the right way, in the right order, right? That's what I got to do. And I got to speak a certain way in a certain cadence with a certain voice the whole time, right? It's like, and I realized what got me the success I had before is because when I finally at the peak just ignored the right ways to do things, I was really having a blast. And the thing I heard a lot was, you've got this infectious energy. I have heard that, you know, that if I could be paid $1 for every time I heard blank, right? Regardless of what it is, some people are like, I'd be a millionaire. And the reality is like, that's one of those things for me. And I just couldn't figure it out. I'm like, you know, or you're a breath of fresh air. I'm like, breath of fresh air. Like, what air are you people breathing? You know, but I've experienced it. We've all experienced the grumpy person at a drive-through. We've experienced the grumpy whomever, wherever. You might be the grumpy person. I can tell you that when I'm doing things that deactivate my brain, I become grumpy. And so there's certain things that may work for other people, but they're probably not going to work for you. And having got diagnosed with ADHD and getting these brain scans and all this stuff, like and studying neurodivergence and ADHD and a little bit of autism and these different things, like there are people where it is truly not a one size fits all that will work for them. It is a what size fits you. It is custom. It is bespoke. It is personalized. It's got to be able to be tweaked to you because it's not this one size fits all approach that if you just follow these steps, it's going to work. I mean, it works for some, but not for all. And if you've been frustrated because you believe you've bought the courses, the programs, the this, the that, the whatever, and yet you're not pouring in the money. Like I've seen people, I've spent a lot myself, by the way, but I've seen people, they're in every cotton picking mastermind thing there is known to man. They've spent so much money. Some of these people either they burn through all their savings, they remortgage their home, you know, they get loans from people that they've got a corporate job and they're burning through their 401ks, whatever it is. And they're like, I don't like what I'm doing. So I'm going to go do this other thing that I'm being promised that I'm going to succeed if I just follow what they tell me to do. And yet they're not winning. And I'm like, why? You know how many events I've filmed in a decade where there were far more people who are all sorts of frustrated, even though there's other people succeeding. I mean, that's the frustrating thing because you can't figure out why this person that kind of looks and sounds like you to a degree seemingly is having success, but you're not. And I think because I like to speak and coach from a place of empathy and understanding, you know, maybe God, universe or whatever, I went through this path. If there is any intention behind things, I don't really know sometimes, but I get it now. I get what it's like to overanalyze, overthink, procrastinate, not understand why you know that there's things that would be really helpful to do or that you even really enjoy. Like, I really enjoy doing this. Like, when I just get on, have something, just let it flow. I don't think, should I record for 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour? You know, what should I say? How should I say it? Should I go from this prepared list? All this shit. I mean, if you could see what I created in the last week and a half so that I could have some kind of prepared questions to be on here. I mean, I had a list of probably 200, 300, actually, I think it was close to 500 questions. And I tried that the other day. It was horrible. And it was one of the worst performing videos I did recently. I don't have a lot of data as of recent for that, you know, proof of just the flow, but I don't care. Because what I've found that's sustainable in business for people is that which they would do regardless of whether they're getting paid to do it. And through all the content I've consumed, there seems to be a theme of people who, whether they have a job or some kind of entrepreneurship, something that provides income whilst they're doing this other thing that they can't not do, and they do it and do it and do it, and they get better and better and better until people pay attention, and then they maybe have this breakthrough, right? And then when they have the breakthrough, everything they did by just doing what they loved because they didn't care. And they didn't need to make money from it. All of a sudden, now there's people paying attention. Now what do they get a lot more of when people are paying attention? Because you got a lot of subscribers. They got opinions. And they want to tell you how to do things, the better way to do things, the right way to do things, the thing to scale, the thing to make more money, right? And so then people start tweaking and changing and doing different things and getting away from the thing that they loved, that was fueling them, that allowed them, whether it took them 1 year or 10 years to get to where they got to. And then slowly but surely they burnt out because they had to spend more time either doing what I call deactivating tasks, or doing things they don't really want to do. And that's not sustainable. It's not sustainable for the long term. And so what I found in online business and online coaching is the majority of advice I was personally given was not bad advice. The people were not trying to not help me succeed. They really wanted to see me succeed. I believe that with every bone in my body now. I used to have all this like kind of resentment towards people. It wasted my time and I lost all this money and all these things. Very few people that I've interacted with had that malice, if you will, had that ill intent that I can't even point anybody out who I think was really out to like directly get me versus, yeah, there's content out there that I'm consuming that may or may not have been beneficial, but I chose to watch the video. I chose to consume it. And then I chose to believe or do whatever I wanted to do with it. But, so what happened is like, I'm getting all this stuff and I'm like, what do I do? And so I start following these things and following these people and following what they're saying, right? Because they got to know better than I do. And like I said, what I found is it's not that it was bad advice. It was just wrong for me. From the very first time I was told I needed a course, a program, a step-by-step, a formula, a framework, was when I started down a path that by and large was not right for me. See, when I look back at my past, there was a lot of things I tried in the beginning. I didn't know what worked or what didn't work. And there were certain things I was just happy to do anything and everything. I was just thrilled, right? And I got to do it with some buddies and whatever else. And it was fantastic. Over time, there was things I knew I was better at than others. So when people would come to me in my video production company, go, hey, you're the creative one, right? You know what to do. You can craft this a script and this whole thing. And I thought, sure. I mean, I wasn't thinking I can't. Because I don't think that was even in my vocabulary in the beginning of my career. Like, I can't or I won't. It's just like, hey, I can. I will. I'll do it. You know, you're going to pay me? Hell, even if you don't pay me, I'll do it. Like, I took anything and everything that somebody came to me or I came to people and we could figure out something they supposedly wanted. And I would do it. And then over time, I saw that there were things that, like, I didn't do a very good job. I pissed people off. I procrastinated on. I didn't enjoy. And that's when I wanted to quit and give up, right? Because I had a lot I was doing that I didn't enjoy, didn't want to do, wasn't good at, didn't even want to get better at. When I did it, which now I see this underlying thread of the ADHD and the brain scans, like this stuff isn't, people talk about ADHD and like when I didn't know about it, it was like the kid who bounces off the walls and can't sit still. Like I was never that kid. There's a lot of undiagnosed, especially even females, who are inattentive, right? Where it's not the hyperactive version of ADHD. And it's also like, you know, a lot of people say, well, everybody got ADHD. It's like, well, my wife has some tendencies that I have from time to time and forget some things, but I can tell you right now, these things do not affect her on the daily most of the time. Whereas I can look back at my life and my career and I can see these themes before I ever knew about it. So it wasn't like I was trying to create a bias towards, oh, now I know this. And now I'm saying, oh, this is an excuse or that excuse. And like, no, there are certain things that just happened as long as I can remember. And there's other things where I thrived, right? And when I leaned into the thriving in quote unquote opposition of what others were telling me I should or shouldn't do, and it didn't make sense to them how certain things were working for me. But when I leaned into it, and then I leaned into it because I thought I had no other option. I thought this has to work or I'm not doing this anymore because I'm not doing it this way anymore. Like, and even my couples are telling me that this other way, they don't even want. But I'm listening to these people. They're not even the ones giving me money, but they're just successful in this field telling me this is what I should do. Sometimes that advice from someone more successful than you is potentially advice you should listen to and is the right advice for you and will work for you. But I think there's a lot of people right now that, especially people in their 30s and 40s, and depending on how long you've been trying to do entrepreneurship or you have done entrepreneurship, you've consumed a lot. There's no doubt in my mind you've consumed plenty of information tactically, technically, strategically, yada, 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 about different ways to do things. And you know that's probably one of the biggest problems is it's not a lack of information. It's information overload, content constipation. There's too much in there. And now it's what do I do? There's another form of procrastination, right? Because, you know, it's one thing when you only have one option. You either do it or you don't. It's another thing when you have 375 options and you don't know which one to pick, right? That's a whole other can of worms. And so, you know, for my coaching business, I've had to go and try all these things. I did all these things. And there were some things that worked, but they were so unsustainable for me because when I did them, how it made me feel, it was unsustainable. And then other things make me feel amazing. Well, I have proof from my past. Some people don't have this, but I have proof from my past. When I do the things that feel amazing and then I have a natural inclination to want to get better at, to want to do, like that same edit. There's a lot of things that people go, if I'm not getting paid, I'm not doing it. Like, it's like putting rules and stipulations on people that you love and want to hang out with. Like, I love my wife. I don't put all these rules on it. Like, if they don't do this, I'm not going to hang out with them. It's like, I want to see my wife every day, you know? And that same day, every time I had the opportunity to film a wedding, when I did the very first one at the last wedding of the season in 2006, I was hooked. I knew I loved that. Was I great at it that time? Absolutely not. I mean, people were pumped though. They were pumped. And so I loved doing that. I loved doing that. And so whenever I got the opportunity, I told people about it. But the problem is the way I was explaining it, most people didn't understand it. And so most people, because I had peers, I had groups and things I was involved in, and they said, you got to charge for it. Try to charge for it. People wouldn't pay for it. Anybody, if they were at one, which was only one wedding and not everybody was calling me came from that wedding. So if they weren't, they're like, I don't know. Wouldn't it be better if you had more time? All these things. And I had very weak, non-convincing answers when I would get asked those questions. If they would, you know, have rebuttals to my excitement and wanting to charge them, I didn't have very good responses. And so most of the time people wouldn't pay for that. They'd pay me to do what they understood, what they thought they needed, what they thought they wanted. So I did that. But thank God something overcame me that had me do the thing anyways. So I kept doing the same day edit regardless of pay. I kept doing my best regardless of pay. See, some people out there, some creatives and some videographers, you know, they're basing everything on all these outside. I mean, there's a lot of advice. And for me, I'm always, you know, when I'm on here, I have to generalize. And I try to give different stories and different versions of things because I love working personally with people. That's what I do all the time. Reach out to me, send me a private message, go to themindmechanic.net, send me a message, go to Facebook, send me a message. If you want to explore how we can work together because, I work privately, personally, give personalized advice. Like you have your own private podcast, except it's personalized to you. And for me, looking back and recognizing that there are people being told, don't do free work. right? There are videos. I've watched them just crapping all over free work. I would have never traveled the world, worked with the people I did, or made the money that I did in my life had I not been willing to do the thing that I love doing, regardless of whether or not I could figure out how to get paid for it. I truly believe that. Because there are people who own certain pieces of equipment. And if people won't pay for it, they don't bring it. And to that I say, well, that's fine and dandy. But what's happening to you inside every day that you don't get to create what you want to create, to do what you want to do, to bring the gear that you want to bring, or you're capable of a 10 and you're doing a 2? Right? It's one thing if your skill set's at a 2 right now, you do the best 2 you can do. Right? But if your skill set's at a 10 and you know what you're capable of, and yet because you can't figure out how to sell, market, promote, convince, whatever, somebody to pay what you think you should be getting relative to that gear you have and the value you think you can bring and the money you think you should be getting paid. If you can't get that right now, so you choose to do an inferior product when you could very easily do the better product, it's killing you inside every day. I would gamble that very few people are thrilled to go knowing they can do more and doing less. Very few people. In fact, my man, there he is. My man, Lance. I'll bring up a story from Lance. I was going to use this in one of my video stories. He may be able to comment more. He had, I don't know when it was now because it's in my notes somewhere, but he had, I think it was $10,000 he was wanting to spend on a website. And I think I don't know how many he called, 5, 10, 15 people, and nobody got back to him. Nobody would return his phone call. Nobody would email him back. I don't remember what he ended up doing. I don't know the whole gist of the story, but it was like, this, you know, people complain, people don't have money, but there's so many creatives out there, they don't even respond to people. I've been that person. I've been the person who won't respond. Overwhelmed, overworked, stressed out, whatever. Like, I don't have time for this, but really it was just like, I'm overwhelmed. Cause that's what I find, right? Is that these stove moments stack and then we won't grow into pain. So things happen and our subconscious says, don't do more of that because that's painful. You got enough work. You got enough stuff. You can't handle what you got. Don't take on more. So don't respond to the email. Don't respond to the phone call. Don't answer the phone. Don't go anywhere. Don't network. Don't market. Don't promote. Don't do these things because it's going to hurt. And so what people do is they retract, they pull back, you know, and what a lot do is they're on this roller coaster that basically has them be about running out of money. And I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about this is what I've done in my past plenty of times, which is, oh, crap, I'm running out of money. So what do? Oh, we manically go crazy to do these things and take all this energy and get what we need to survive. Because that was typically a painful process, we don't keep doing that behavior, which would allow us to make more money. Instead, it gives us enough work, enough opportunity to last for a month, for a week, for 3 months, for 6 months, whatever it is. But in that time frame, we don't do any of the things that got us the work. And let's say you do enough that gives you 6 months worth of money, but it's only 3 months worth of work. What tends to happen is, because it was so painful to get that, as you do the work and everything's good, you're like, oh, I'm good. Everything's fantastic. And then what happens? You get done with the 3 months worth of work. You don't got any more work because you haven't done anything in that entire time to get more work, to get more opportunity, create more opportunity, right? So you're like, okay, well, I'm all right. I got 3 more months worth of money. And then what happens? A month passes. Another month passes. You're like, oh shit, I got a month's worth of money left. I'm going to run out. Holy crap. What am I going to do? Oh, here we go. Let's go. And you know, you've been building up that energy again because, you know, you lost it all in the first round. Now, how many years is a person going to do that before they don't want to do that anymore? And that's when they consider just quitting entrepreneurship. That's when they consider getting a job because it's bloody exhausting. And you know, you hear all these words, your adrenals, your whatever, you know, it's all blown. It's all shot. And you got no more juice in you. That's what happened to me. The Gebs juice got drained after time and time again, doing and trying to do things that really I shouldn't do. Like right now, this is my sweet spot. This is my gift. If I'm going to inspire people, this is how I got to do it. And that ain't coming from defeat and giving up. It's like, no, there are people on this planet who are highly prepared and polished and they can do well. There are people who aren't prepared and polished at all and they do well. There's people who do interviews all the time. They do well. Joe Rogan, right? There's people who create solo content and create in isolation, and they can do well, right? There's all sorts of ways on this planet to succeed. But the surefire way to quote unquote fail is to do things that you know you have zero desire to do. To do things that you know if you won the lottery and never needed to make a dollar in your life again, that you wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. So if you'd hire people and get all these people and, you know, get a huge overhead and yada, 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 regardless if you needed money, then by all means, do it. And that's how I look at it, right? And then we got to reverse engineer things because I want the yeah buts. And please, I need to be saying this more and more and more and more and more. I'm going to keep doing these as best I can because this is part of the reprogramming, right? Like, I know this is the best thing for me. I know I enjoy this the most, but I have to reprogram my mind against a decade of telling me to do what I'm doing right now differently. What is it that you know is right for you, but you believe you have to do it differently? Not your way, but somebody else's way. But that way it has no alignment with you, no authenticity to you, and you're not going to do it sustainably. And if you won't do it consistently and sustainably to some degree, then the result that you're hoping to get that somebody else is promising is likely to never come. Over and over again, what I do best is extract out of people what it is that they love to do, what it is that they want to do. Once I hear that, I latch onto that with everything I've got and help get them to believe that and see that, that that will be the thing where they will have success. To what degree, I have no idea, because all we can control is the inputs, not the outputs. At one point in time in my video career, I went in with all this plan. The couple told me this was going to happen here and there and this and that and all this stuff. And I pick a song and I tell these are the shots I'm going to get and where I'm going to get them and how I'm going to get them and where they're going to go in the edit. And that was all hunky-dory until over and over again, life happened and it didn't happen how I planned. And so what happened? I was discouraged. I was disappointed. I was frustrated. I was irritated. I was all these things because I kept having a plan and the plan didn't work. And so I went in and I'm like, the plan ain't working. What's going on? I'm supposed to get here at 8:30 because dad's going to show up at 9 and dad's already gone and he got there at 8:15. Bloody hell. What the heck? And then what am I supposed to do? Because that throws off my whole edit because I was going to get this shot and this shot and this shot and this was going to take up 20 seconds. So having enough of that frustration and going, this ain't working for me, right? What did I do? I said, screw it. I'm going to do it my way. And not in a like, ugh, screw it, I don't care, blah, 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 just go through the motions and do it. It's like, no, you know what? I'm just going to get what I get. And I'm going to do my absolute best and pick out the songs that fuel my soul. I'm going to edit the way that I'm proud of and I'm excited by, regardless of what they're supposedly wanting. You know, this could sound selfish, but you know what's selfish? Doing things for people and then moaning and complaining every minute of every second of every day behind their back. You know what I don't want in my life? Coaches, people, friends, colleagues, anybody, where they're constantly moaning and complaining behind my back about me. That's what I don't want. So when you know that you hate doing something and yet you're going to complain constantly behind their back and do a piss poor job because you don't really want to do it, that's a disservice to people. As much as you think you're taking care of people because you're doing what they want, when in reality, most people who want something are looking to you because they want an expert to do it. They want a professional to do it. They want somebody who's a pro to do it. They don't want to do it. And so some people know what it is that they want and they're, you can collaborate and mold something and it'll be fantastic with that true collaboration. But other people, they don't really care. But they're bringing something to you and 9 times out of 10, that doesn't align with what you want to do. And so you go, okay, here we go again. Inside your head, like, oh God, another one of these people, right? And I was doing that. I was doing that. And I got fed up and I said, here's what I do. And you know what happened? My business exploded. It took off because I infected people with this enthusiasm and this excitement and this energy that people couldn't like look away from, right? And the work that I did was a 10 out of 10 or a 2 out of 2 or a 4 out of 4. It was always what I was capable of. I could not do something and make something and create something that I wasn't proud of. Yet for a decade, I over time did things and created in ways and spoke in ways that over time I lost my way. And right now, this is a practice. And I want y'all to go on a journey with me. What's that thing that you can practice right now in your life? Right? What is that thing that you need to rewire and reprogram that you know better and you know what works for you, you know what's right for you, yet you're not doing it because you believe from somebody else outside of you that that way is wrong? What is that? And if you haven't heard it, sometimes we need reminders more than we need more information, right? So the backwards bike, this is what's happening, I believe, at a mass level to people when they've read the books, the inspirational videos, they're hearing stuff like this. Like, I've had the best of the best of the best support me. I really do believe that. And yet I still lost my way, even knowing better, because knowing and doing and being are all very drastically different things. And so for me, what happened was, if you know the backwards bike story, here's what happens. This guy makes a bike that for everything about it, it looks like a normal bike. So you can relate this to your life, and we'll get there in a second, right? But when you ride the bike, instead of turning left, it going left, it goes right. Instead of going right, it goes left. So it does the opposite. Everything about it is a normal bike. Once you're riding the bike, it rides like a normal bike. And all the cocky, like, yeah, I got this, you know, because he offered $250 if a person could go 10 feet. No one could do it. No one. Why is that? They have all the information. I just gave you all the information. You don't need a PhD. You don't need to go to school for 10 years. You don't need to watch 14,000 training videos. You don't need certifications. You don't need degrees. You don't need to think about it. You don't need to overanalyze it. There is not one single thing you can do but get on that bike and ride the bike, right? But you can't ride the bike because most people were programmed at a very young age that this particular device does a very particular thing in a very particular way. So your brain doesn't have to rewire and relearn every single day all these different things. But a lot of people's wiring's all messed up right now. So they don't know what does what and how to do it. So this kid, his kid, who was 6 years old, been riding a bike for 3 years, he was able to practice daily riding this bike over the course of a few weeks and rewired his brain, and he could ride the backwards bike. The dad was in his 40s. How many of you, if you want to leave a comment, if you've heard this story before, if not, how many months roughly did it take the dad who was in his 40s of daily practice to ride the backwards bike? Now, mind you, you know how to ride it. You know how to ride a bike. You understand how this bike works. And yet, you have to get on this bike each and every single day and fall down 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 and not know, potentially for some people, if or when they'll be able to ride that bike. 9 months of riding that bike, 9 months of riding that bike before his brain rewired, clicked, switched, and he was able to ride the backwards bike. Guess how long it took him after that to ride the regular bike again? 20 minutes. So how old are you and how long have you been riding a bike that ain't working for you? So now, in an instant, in a moment, you intellectually get and understand, this is the work I'm doing all day, every day, privately. People having things happen and me reflecting a different perspective, a different shift, right? If you tend to be a pessimistic person, how do you think you're going to easily come up with optimism switches to those things and then find those things? I've got two people. I got my wife and two other people right now that I am personally working with to wrangle my brain, because I can spiral and spin and get in these states that are not empowering me. And just simply doing it 100% myself right now is challenging, because I have to bring the awareness. Somebody at times, I can snap myself out a decent amount of time, but a lot of times it's difficult. So I'm like a wild bull. It's like, whoa, come on. I got 3 or 4 people trying to wrangle my brain and help me so that I continue to be really, and I tell the people working with me more than anything, I need encouragement. That's my number one superpower. Hearing people's stories, helping reignite, you know, and help them bounce back from, you know, burnout, help them reignite their soul, right? Recharge their human battery, help them get back to where they're ignited again and they want to take action. They want to practice. They want to do that thing. Because I know when I do this, I'm on fire, right? And I know when I try to do it another way, I don't want to do it ever again, right? It's the same thing that happened to me with video. When I thought I got to have this package and this package and this package is supposed to be an inferior video to this package. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. Like, I could not do it. You know, when somebody booked a $1,000 package back in the day, and I did the $3,000 package because it's like there was something inside of me that said I have to do my best. You know, my dad helped me with my paper out. And one of the biggest examples my dad gave me is that no matter what, rain, shine, snow, sleet, ice, whatever, when we did the paper out, we would take the paper and put it in the door of every single house. That took extra time. I had people 20 years later say I was the best paper boy they ever had. You know why? Because most people, you know what the expectation is from the paper company to have you deliver the paper? Chuck it out in the street. You know what I do sometimes when I'm walking around my town in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning? I take people's newspapers and put them up on their thing. They don't even know that I do it. Because we knew we brought joy to those people's lives by putting those door in there. Put in the door. I'm getting a little emotional here thinking about it. But we didn't have to do that. It wasn't expected of us. I once heard a cliche quote, "The extra mile is never crowded." But my dad instilled that in me. I think I'm gonna go down that road right now, right this second, but the number one thing I want for each and every single one of you, I've felt what it feels like. Well, I'll tell you this. My grandpa can't remember much of anything right now. And the only things he can remember are the things that he's repeated over and over and over again. And what I know is some of you are repeating stories. I know that I am repeating stories that are not empowering me, that are not helping me, that are not serving me. That's why I need people in my life to help me see those stories and not tell me that I should do something completely different than I know that I want to do, but yet encourage me to tell me to do what I want to do. And I know that my grandpa didn't have enough encouragement in his life because the stories he remembers are the things he's told 1,000 times. And so he doesn't remember much right now when I'm with him. But he remembers that he was a novelist and he didn't get his books published. And he thought because they didn't get published, they weren't very good and that he wasn't very good. So he quit. And the reality is that lit his soul up when he did it. He loved doing it. I have notes here. I have his old typewriter. And he loved writing. And he quit because he didn't get encouraged enough to keep doing it, regardless of an outside circumstance or situation or outcome happening. I can't control. I've got blocked how many people are on this right now. Because it triggers me if I don't see any people on. My wife. It triggers me if I don't see that many people on. So today I have it blocked. I can see the chat some. I appreciate the love. But I'm just on here. Because I know I love to speak. And speak from the heart, speak from the soul without a script. Raw, unscripted, real. Not well thought out. This is me. This is my sweet spot. When people, you know, contacted me for my services. If there was a phone number, I called it. I didn't think about it. I didn't overanalyze it. I didn't go look up their website. I didn't do any of that. I just simply picked up the phone and I spoke to somebody. And so my greatest thing I want for you is I've gotten to experience what it's like to do things where I feel like a million bucks when I do it. And I've also gotten to viscerally experience and feel what it's like to do things where I feel like shit when I do it. And I don't enjoy it. And I know it's not me. But yet I've been told directly, indirectly, and then my little narrator in my head ends up saying, but you can't do it your way. And I know better because I have proof from my past. It says I can do it my way because I have done it my way. And you can do it your way. Will it be easier? It'd be a hell of a lot easier if I don't get on here and do this and go make money with video. Because some people say, if you can't do, coach. Well, by God, I'm telling you right now that I am not coaching because I cannot do. It'd be a hell of a lot easier and I'd make a shit ton more money if I didn't get on here and speak to you right now. I can promise you that. There's been proof. I made a good chunk of money in video last year. I didn't even try. That's because of a decade of building a reputation and a trust and a desire for my services. But I can't not do this because I know that there are people like my grandpa who are not being encouraged and need hope. And I have this mission now of hope, which is help one person every day. And the link isn't quite set up. I don't know what it's going to be, but right now I think it works, but I'm still tweaking it. But it's like Video Business Jumpstart, and there's a way for you to submit a message. It should be right maybe sometime here in the next week, but if you click the button, it'll give you my audiobook, and then there's an ability. Well, right now it only lets you send a 10-second audio. Just go there if you're hearing this, because I don't know how many people see this, but I'm going to be changing it. But I'm wanting people to submit me their story, their situation, where they're at, where they want to be, and why they think they're not there. In the future, I'm going to give people 5 to 7 minutes. And then I'm going to respond to these, giving people hope. Because I know one audio, one message personally and particularly and specifically for you could absolutely change your life and change the trajectory of your life forever. Because sometimes we just need some encouragement. So I've gotten directly feel what it's like to feel alive and feel what it's not like to be alive. I've gotten to directly experience and see that repeating stories you will remember. In my grandpa's dementia, the only things he remembers are the stories he's told all day, every day. And some of those stories he told me multiple times while I walked. I ask him a ton of questions. Most of the time he goes, you know, but that's not uncommon. When I was younger, one of my kids asked, Dad, don't you remember anything? And they're like, nah, you've been like that since you were 2 years old. You've been like that since you were a kid. He told me that all the time, that he couldn't remember anything, which guess what happened? That's his main line. Everything I ask him, he answers to that 7 out of 10 times. And the things, then there's some things he has small recall, because it triggers something and he can talk a little bit about it. But then there's other things that he's told many, many times. And he's told me many, many times that one of his, he doesn't talk about it in regret form actually anymore, interestingly. But when we walked one day, I asked my grandpa, what is something you regret doing, saying, being? He couldn't answer. So I said, what is something you regret not doing? Instantly, not getting his novels published. Here's the thing. If you're a writer, write. If you're a speaker, speak. If you're a designer, design. If you're a videographer, video. If you're a filmmaker, film. You know, if you're an editor, edit. If you're a speaker, speak. Right? If you're a botanist, botany. If you're a brain surgeon, surgery. Right? Whatever that is that brings you alive, do it. Because the only thing you can control is doing that thing. What happens when you do that thing, by and large, is outside of your control. Now, today, you can self-publish. Today, there's the whole internet. You can post anywhere, anything, right? Somebody, there's been a few people listening to this. Back in the day, there wouldn't have been any of this technology. If I couldn't have gone into a room of people to speak, I wouldn't have been able to potentially speak to anybody. I couldn't go in my basement, in my office, and turn on my TV and speak to the TV, ain't nobody gonna hear me, right? But today we have technology where you can write and you can post and you can share. And the more you do it, the better you'll likely get at it. Depending on where you do it, how you do it, and who you do it in front of, Certain people may pay attention. Someday they may pay. Some people, quite frankly, would rather what they love never turn into a business. They don't want it to be a business. That might be right for you. But I know for me, expressing myself is very important. I know over the last few years, I've expressed myself a lot to my private clients, but I haven't done much of this. And I know with every bone in my body, because I got a lot of proof, that me doing what I did today makes a difference. Doing it the way I did it today makes a difference. Because this is me. This is who I am. I'm not better than you. I'm not smarter than you. I can promise you that. There's a lot of people probably a lot smarter than me. And I've tested, tried, tweaked, tossed a lot of things in my life. And moving forward, the things I want to keep are the things that I want to do, that I want to share. I don't want to get on here and act better than anybody, smarter than anybody, wiser than anybody. I've got some things figured out, and there's a lot I don't. And there's things I've got figured out that I got to practice every single day. It's like the weeds grow automatically. We've got to sit here and rip them out. You know, mindset is not something you arrive. You don't get a great attitude and have a great mindset and arrive there and then you're good. It's like losing weight. You know, the reality is if you needed to lose or wanted to lose 150 pounds and you do something that's just grueling and horrible and you absolutely, it's going to be tough. But being that weight's probably tough too. But if you do it at this accelerated pace that you absolutely despise every second of every moment of every day of it, the likelihood you continue it and maintain it once you hit your goal is low. And the problem is you change your behavior right back to what felt good, because it might have, as much as it was hard being overweight or these things, there was things that it gave you or you wouldn't be it. And so at times we got to change our identity entirely, but at times, depending on how grueling something is, it can be easier to default back, depending on the people in your life as well, default back to those old behaviors, which then give you the same results you had. And over time, you will put that weight back on. So when it comes to growing a business, when it comes to doing certain things, if we're doing things we absolutely hate every single day, the likelihood we sustain it is low. And if we do something rapidly to achieve a result, the likelihood is we go back to the behavior that didn't work. So it takes practice. Because there are behaviors that are more impactful, more empowering, and more helpful, and more supportive. But mindset takes practice. You can't shower 5,000 times over the course of a week and then be like, I'm clean forever, right? You can't brush your teeth 20 times a day for 2 weeks and be like, I don't need to brush my teeth again. Well, I slept today. I just laid in bed all day and I slept. I got almost 22 hours of sleep. I don't need to sleep again for a week and a half. That didn't work that way. Neither does mindset. The weeds, the negativity, the disempowerment, the discouragement, the frustration, the inner narrator, it's there all day, every day, and it lives with you. You need someone in your life that can encourage you, that can support you, that can constantly reframe that, repractice. So that's what I'm getting on here, to continue to practice. That me getting on here, not overthinking and overanalyzing the topic, what I should say at the beginning and how I should say it and how I should frame it and how I should have three tips. And if I have three tips and then I go to the one tip and then I can reframe the three tips at the end of the three tips and then say this again. Like the amount of stuff that I could reel through at 100 miles an hour and be like, oh my God, what's wrong with this guy? Like, I'm sure a version of that might go on in your head, maybe at a slower pace than mine, but like nonetheless, it's going on. All the ways that you should, all the ways that you could, all the ways I shoulda, coulda, woulda, and I'd be here now. Like, it's like, you are where you are, and you can't change that, and you cannot beat yourself up each and every single day, because you made the best decisions each and every single day based on what you knew when you made the decision. You can't A-B test life. You know, in marketing, you can throw 100 people at a page, and each sees a different page potentially. But in life, if I make a decision to say something right now, I can't take it back. If I did something 2 years ago, I can't do that over again. I can potentially not do it again, but I can't do that over again. So you are where you are in your life. Don't beat yourself up. There's lessons you can learn. And the only way to me you lose is when you quit, when you give up. Not when you pivot, not when you shift, not when you make a different move and you go in a different direction, but simply when you quit entirely and you stop the thing that lights your soul up. Otherwise, it's not winning or losing, it's winning or learning. What can you learn? What can you take away from it? How can you do something a little different? And 99% of what I'm saying is a reminder for me, right? I can just do it in public now because, I mean, like, it feels better for somebody else to also hear this, for some of this pain that I've felt, to know that when I release this and share my thoughts around it, that somebody else can feel not alone. Somebody else can feel seen, heard, and understood. And through that, they can get hope again. And that hope can simply be taking the computer out and writing today, editing, playing, doing something for fun, right? I went into this today not thinking, what am I going to get out of it? And when I do it very particular ways, it's typically so that I can get something out of it. It doesn't seem to work for me. It's when I want to get something out of it that I love to do, not because I'm manipulating it so that I can do things a certain way to hopefully get a certain result. I'm not trying to be crafty right now. I'm just trying to be me, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly, the shares, the wins, the losses, the roller coaster. Because that's the life. It's the life that I've lived. It hasn't been rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns, and everything's all snowy and wonderful. There's been all sorts of challenges. There's challenges I can't even share because there's private stories behind the scenes. I try to share as much as I can. I'm willing to share a lot. But some people don't want their story shared. So anywho. God dang, god dang. God diggity dang. Hey, there's hope. There's light. There's lots of light. I got all sorts of light. Right? Light behind me. Right? There's all sorts of light here. When you look for the light, you'll find it. Right? When you look for the light, you'll find it. And I'm going to do my best to keep showing up like this. If you want to be notified, make sure you like, subscribe. Go to themindmechanic.net, fill out my contact form. Actually, you can go to themindmechanic.net, go to podcast. There's an email form there. I'm trying to think the things I have right now. I wasn't necessarily prepared to do this today, but I have different places. Get on my email list, subscribe wherever you are, like the page, whatever it is, because I don't know right now that I am going to do these at particular times yet. I'm more committed to just doing it, just getting on here, speaking from the heart, from the soul, sharing. My hope is that you all will start potentially privately submitting your stories, your situations, your questions, because I want this content to come from you, not from me. That is my hope, because I am much better when I am helping someone, not everyone. I always want to help someone. I want to give hope, help one person every day. And so my goal is to start having something where people privately can submit their stories to me and I can respond and potentially make that content. But I will keep the names private. I will keep their story private. I think that more people and the things that they want to share with me, I have just found in a decade plus of doing this that the things that I work with people on, they tend to want to keep private overall. They tend to not want to be seen or heard publicly, to share publicly. As soon as I get them in private, they say all sorts of things that they wouldn't say publicly. So I want to make a way to allow people to share their stories where I can make inspiring content from that. I can answer questions. I can't work with everybody privately. For those who want to, we can explore that. But I'm trying to make some stuff available so that I can give back and express myself and help those who are challenged right now. And so I want to make this content from you. So I hope you will send me a private message on my email, themindmechanic.net. You can go to the contact there. You can go to Messenger. You can contact me there. Soon I'm going to have a way for you to record audio. It won't be video. It'll be super simple to use. You don't have to download anything fancy. You'll be able to record an audio so I can hear that and I can make a response. Again, I will keep that private. That's not quite ready quite yet. But I would love, send me a private message or leave a comment here if you want to hear how this has impacted you today. What resonated? What helped? I'm seeing stuff popping at the end. Everybody's like, I think y'all in a trance, like, while I do things. You know, it's like, I cannot see how many people are on. There haven't been that many comments. And then when I looked like I was going to end, there's like a whole bunch of thank yous because I'm streaming to like, I don't know, 6 or 8 places right now. But I didn't want to be like seeing how many people are on or anything. I didn't say like, I didn't say comment. And it feels like when you say that, more people will do it. And then when people thought I was going to be over, it seemed like a number of people popped on and said something. So I appreciate it. I'm grateful. Like I said, send me a message. If you have questions, thoughts, concerns, anything, you know, send me a message. I'll do my best to help however I can. You know, I do work with people privately. So if you're interested, if you're curious, people call it very therapeutic. They're being able to express yourself, be heard, not seen because I don't see you. It's all audio based. It's all asynchronous, which means it's not in sync on a call. There's no scheduled calls. I hate scheduled calls. My soul needs some in-person from time to time, but I've been able to make a far dramatic, deeper impact on people, allowing people to record messages when they want, whenever they want, wherever they want, and just to be able to express themselves in a safe place where they're not going to be judged, they're not going to be shamed, they're not going to be discouraged, they're just going to be supported. And that's what I'm here to do, is to support you on your journey, to helping you. If it's grow your business, great. For some people I've helped, they realize they don't want to be in business or they want to be employed doing the thing that they love. There are many ways to fulfillment and happiness and joy in what it is that you may love to do. And I will do one thing and one thing only, help you do that. I don't have any agenda. I don't have any ego attached to a particular way of living life or doing business. I do not care. I am not one size fits all. I'm what size fits you. I am what is right for you. That is all that matters to me. I do not care about anything else. I will not judge you. I don't care what you want to do. Like, that's the whole thing. I do not care what you want to do at all. I only care what you want to do. And I will help you in any way I can see that you can do that thing and to start to do that thing. Because if you felt something special on this call today, it's because I'm doing things and living in my truth, in my light, in my way. I'm doing things without a script, without perfection. That's for me. I am not scripted and polished. I am imperfect. For you, you can be imperfect, be scripted and prepared. That might be your way. There's some great content on this planet from people who are very prepared and they love writing scripts and they love lighting and video and creation. They love to do that. They absolutely love it and it fuels their soul and it's why they grew. And when they stopped doing that, they grew, but they started dying inside, right? So what is that for you? That's all I care about. So anyways, send me a private message. I'm imechanic.net. You can go there, go to the contact, you can go to Facebook, you can send me a message there. Like I said, soon I will start the Hope Mission and have people submitting their stories so I can respond with a 5, 10, 15 minute audio personalized to you. It'd be like a little personalized private podcast episode. So if any of that resonates, let me know. I appreciate you being here. I plan to be here again and again and again and again. I don't know when, but get on my newsletter. You'll get notified in one way, shape, or form, and I'll let you know when we're going live. And I look forward to hearing from you. So there is hope. There is light. What did I say? Live lighter, shine brighter, love tighter. Rock and roll, my friends. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. Love you.